got a sprain or an itch, pain, rash, swelling, or twitch, call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky. I call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. One of the services that we offer at Southside Medical Center is recommending medical marijuana for Florida residents who have certain medical diagnoses that the state recognizes in the state statutes. One of these is cancer. Now, there are many others, and later in the show we'll list them. But right now, Carmen and I are going to talk about cancer, a pretty ominous diagnosis, especially when you, your family member, or friend are diagnosed with it. The first thing that we need to do is define our terms. In other words, what exactly is cancer? Well, it's a pretty broad term, as there are many types of cancers. In fact, the term cancer is the name given to a collection of related diseases.
In all types of cancer, some of the body cells begin to divide without stopping and spreading into surrounding tissues. Cancer can affect almost any part of the human body. It's estimated that more than 11 million people in the United States have some form of cancer, and there are more than 200 different types of cancer.
The most common type of cancer in the United States today is skin cancer, with over 11 million people affected each year. Although this particular cancer can affect any skin on the body, it is most prevalent on the areas that have been exposed to the sun. Next most common is lung cancer, which affects around 220,000 people a year and kills around 160,000 people annually. Right behind these are breast and prostate cancer.
Remember, the body is made up of trillions of cells. Normally, human cells grow and divide to form new cells as the body needs them. When cells grow old or become damaged, they die and new cells take their place. That is the norm.
However, when cancer develops, this process just simply breaks down. As cells become more and more abnormal, older damaged cells survive when they should die, and new cells form when they're not needed. These extra cells can divide without stopping and may form growths that we call tumors. Many cancers form solid tumors. These are the ones that are most familiar to us. On the other hand, cancers of the blood, such as leukemias, generally do not form solid tumors.
Cancerous tumors are malignant. This means that they can spread into or invade nearby tissues. Not only that, as these tumors grow, some cancer cells can break off and travel to distant places in the body through the blood or the lymph system and form a new tumor far from the original tumors. This is called metastasis.
Cancers are malignant tumors. As we said, they can spread. Again, on the other hand, there are tumors called benign. In other words, they do not spread. However, they can be life-threatening if they get large enough to affect nearby tissues and organs. Now, unlike most benign tumors elsewhere in the body, benign brain tumors can be especially life-threatening. So now that you know what a cancer is, the next thing to tackle is what are the differences between normal cells and cancer cells. We'd also like you to know what makes a normal cell become a cancer cell. After all, we would like to know the cause in order to prevent their creation. Normally, cells are generally specialized and mature in very distinct cell types with specific functions.
On the other hand, cancer cells do not. This is one reason that, unlike normal cells, cancer cells continue to divide without stopping. Normal cells respond to normal signals that tell normal cells to stop dividing normally. Normal cells also respond to signals that tell normal cells to begin a process called programmed cell death, which the body uses to get rid of unneeded cells.
Cancer cells don't. Some cancer cells can actually induce nearby normal cells to form blood vessels that can supply the tumors with oxygen and nutrients, which they need to grow. These blood vessels also remove the waste products from the tumors.
On past shows, we talk about autoimmune diseases, which affect our body's immune system, which is a network of organs, tissues, and specialized cells that protects the body from infections and other conditions. An example of an autoimmune disease is systemic lupus, where the body's immune system works over time to damage its own cells.
Cancer cells, on the other hand, are often able to evade this immune system. Although the immune system normally removes damaged or abnormal cells from the body, some cancer cells are able to hide from the immune system. Tumors can also use the immune system to stay alive and grow. For example, with the help of certain immune system cells that normally prevent a runaway immune response, cancer cells can actually keep the immune system from killing the cancer cells. Now, cancer is caused by certain changes to genes, the basic physical unit of inheritance. There are changes to genes that control the way our cells function, especially how they grow and divide.
Genetic changes that cause cancer can be inherited from our parents, or they can also arise during a person's lifetime as a result of errors that occur as cells divide or because of damage to DNA caused by certain environmental exposure.
As we said, these include tobacco, smoke, radiation such as ultraviolet rays from the sun as well. Each person's cancer has a unique combination of genetic changes. As the cancer continues to grow, additional changes will occur. Even within the same tumor, different cells may have different genetic changes. Some of these changes could be the result of the cancer rather than its cause.
We can go deeper into this, including the actual genetic changes that contribute to cancer. There are generally three main types of genes. These are called proto-oncogenes, tumor suppressor genes, and DNA repair genes.
Rather than call these cancer causes, they call them cancer drivers. Proto-oncogenes are involved in normal cell growth and division. The problem is when these particular genes are altered in some way or are simply more active than normal and they become cancer-causing genes. And this allows cells to grow and survive when they should not.
The next that we mentioned are the tumor suppressor genes. These are also involved in controlling cell growth and division. Tumor suppressor genes may cause cells to divide in an uncontrolled manner, and their key word is uncontrolled.
Finally, we have the DNA repair genes, which are involved in fixing damaged DNA. Cells with mutations in these genes tend to develop additional mutations in other genes. Together, these mutations may all cause the cells to become cancerous. One of the characteristics of cancer that we mentioned previously is metastasis, where cancer cells break away from where they first formed and travel throughout the blood or lymph system and form new tumors, which are called metastatic tumors, in other parts of the body. The metastatic tumor is the same type of cancer as the primary tumor. For example, breast cancer that spreads to and forms a metastatic tumor in the lungs is metastatic breast cancer, not lung cancer. You know that under a microscope, metastatic cancer cells generally look the same as cells of the original cancer.
Moreover, metastatic cancer cells and cells of the original cancer usually have some molecular features in common, such as the presence of specific chromosome changes. Treatment may help prolong the lives of some people with metastatic cancer. In general, though, the primary goal of treatments for metastatic cancer is to control the growth of the cancer or to relieve symptoms caused by it.
So, most of the time, treatment is not focused on healing or just ridding the body of the cancer itself. Most treatment is geared to just prolonging life and relieving symptoms. The reality is that generally metastatic tumors cause severe damage to how the body functions, and most people who die from cancer die of metastatic disease. Now, not every cancer started out as a cancer with symptoms specifically related to that cancer. Some tissue changes may develop into cancer if they are not treated. For example, take hyperplasia. This occurs when cells within a tissue divide faster than normal and extra cells proliferate. However, if you look at the cells under a microscope, they may actually look normal. Hyperplasia can be caused by several factors or conditions, including chronic irritation. Dysplasia, though, is a more serious condition than hyperplasia. Here in dysplasia, there's also a buildup of extra cells, and these extra cells may look abnormal, and there may be changes in how the tissue is organized. In general, the more abnormal the cells and tissues look, the greater the chance that cancer will form.
An example of dysplasia is an abnormal mole that forms on the skin. This mole can turn into a melanoma, a very dangerous form of cancer. Remember, though, that most moles do not turn into cancer, although some do.
Another serious condition is called carcinoma in situ.
Although the name carcinoma in situ sounds as if it is a cancer, it is generally not considered as such because the abnormal cells do not spread beyond the original tissue. That is, they do not invade nearby tissue the way that cancer cells do. But because some carcinomas in situ may become cancer, they are usually treated.
By the way, did you know that there are more than 100 types of cancer? Some are named, actually most are named, for the organ or tissue where the cancers form. As an example, lung cancer starts in cells of the lung, and brain cancer starts in brain cells. But cancers may also be described or named by the type of cell that formed them, such as an epithelial cell or a squamous cell carcinoma. We just mentioned the term carcinoma. Carcinomas are the most common type of cancer and are formed by epithelial cells. These are the cells that cover the inside and outside surfaces of the body. Carcinomas that begin at different epithelial cell types have specific names.
For example, an adenocarcinoma melanoma is a cancer that forms in epithelial cells that produce fluids or mucus. Tissues with this type of epithelial cells are sometimes called glandular tissues. Most cancers of the breast, colon, and prostate are adenocarcinomas.
Then we have basal cell carcinomas that begin in the lower or basal cells of the epidermis, and that's the person's outer layer of skin. You may have heard of squamous cell carcinoma, which is a cancer that forms in squamous cells, obviously. These are epithelial cells that lie just beneath the outer surface of the skin, or also line many other organs, and those include the stomach, intestines, lungs, bladder, and kidneys.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
The next form, what's called a transitional cell carcinoma, which in this case is a cancer that forms in a type of epithelial cell called a transitional epithelium. And that's made up of many layers of epithelial cells that can get bigger and smaller and are found in the linings of the bladder, the ureters, and parts of the kidney, as well as a few other organs.
Our next cancer group is the sarcoma, which forms in sub-tissues of the body, including muscle, tendons, fat, blood vessels, lymph vessels, nerves, and tissue around joints.
The most common cancer of the bone is the osteosarcoma. So far, we've only talked about solid cancerous tumors, but the cancers that begin in the blood-forming tissue of the bone marrow are called leukemias. These cancers don't form from solid tumors. Instead, large numbers of abnormal white blood cells build up in the blood and the bone marrow, crowding out the normal blood cells.
One type of blood cells that can be crowded are due to the proliferation of the cancerous white cells are the red blood cells. If there are too few red blood cells circulating, then the rest of the body does not get enough oxygen, since it is the red blood cells that carry the oxygen around the body to the organs that need them.
Also, some of the other circulating cells get crowded out, so control of bleeding and fighting infections can be affected. There are several types of leukemias, but due to time constraints here, we'll have to leave those for another show. Lymphoma, which is another type of cancer, begins in the disease-fighting white blood cells that are part of our immune systems. One type is Hodgkin lymphoma, and another is aptly named non-Hodgkin lymphoma. With this type of lymphoma, the cancer cells can grow quickly or slowly and can form from what are called beta or B cells and T cells. Multiple myeloma is another form of cancer, and that begins in plasma cells, which is a type of immune cell. Now, these cells build up in the bone marrow and form tumors in the bones all through the body. A particularly bad form of cancer is the melanoma, and that begins in cells which are specialized cells that make melanin, you know, the pigment that gives skin its color. Most melanomas form on the skin, but melanomas can also form in other pigmented tissues, such as the eye.
We have yet to talk about the brain and spinal cord tumors. Many of these form in the central nervous system. For example, an astrocyte tumor begins in star-shaped brain cells called astrocytes, which help keep nerve cells healthy. Brain tumors can be benign, not cancer or malignant cancer.
Have you heard of carcinoid tumors? Probably not, but maybe. Carcinoid tumors are a type of neuroendocrine tumor. Now, these are slow-growing tumors that are usually found in the GI tract. Carcinoid tumors may spread to the liver or other sites in the body, and they may secrete substances such as serotonin or prostaglandins, thus causing what's called carcinoid syndrome. So now we've talked about the who, what, where, when, and why of cancer. Next is the how. In other words, how do we treat patients with cancer? Now, there are many types of cancer treatments. The type of treatment that you receive if you have cancer will depend on the type of cancer you have and how advanced it is. Some people with cancer only have one treatment, while others include two separate types of treatment plans.
The oldest form and one which is used today is surgery. When used to treat cancer, surgery is a procedure in which a surgeon removes cancer from your body.
Surgery often requires cuts through skin, muscles, and sometimes even bone. After surgery, these cuts can be painful, and they could take some time to recover from. But there are other ways of performing surgery that do not involve cuts with scalpels. Some of these These include cryosurgery or even laser surgery.
Surgery can be used to remove the entire tumor or debulk a tumor by removing a portion of it. You may be asking, why would we want to or need to do this rather than take out the entire tumor? Well, sometimes debulking is used when removing an entire tumor might damage an organ or the body. Removing part of the tumor can also help other treatments work better.
Surgery can also be used to ease cancer symptoms such as pain due to pressure of a growing mass. Cryosurgery, sometimes called cryotherapy, is a type of treatment in which extreme colds produced by liquid nitrogen or argon gas is used to destroy abnormal tissue. Cryosurgery may be used to treat early-stage skin cancer as well as something called retinoblastoma, as well as precancerous growths on the skin and the cervix. Well, now we have lasers where powerful beams of light are used to cut through tissue. Lasers can focus very accurately on tiny areas, so they can be used for really precise surgeries.
They can also be used to shrink or destroy tumors or growths that might turn into cancer. Lasers are most often used to treat tumors on the surface of the body or on the inside lining of internal organs, such as basal cell carcinoma of the skin. Cervical changes that might turn into cancer and cervical, vaginal, esophageal, and non-small cell lung cancers.
Hypothermia is a type of treatment in which small areas of body tissue are exposed to high temperatures, which can damage and kill cancer cells and even make them more sensitive to radiation as well as certain chemotherapy drugs. One type of hypothermia is something called radiofrequency ablation, and that uses high-energy radio waves to generate heat.
We talk about laser being used in cancer treatment. It is a type of light treatment. So how about photodynamic therapy, which uses drugs which reacts to a certain type of light? When the tumor is exposed to this light, these drugs become active and kill nearby cancer cells.
Photodynamic therapy is used most often to treat or relieve symptoms caused by skin cancer, something called mycosis fungoides, and non-small cell lung cancers. How about radiation therapy? Well, that's a type of cancer treatment that's using high doses of radiation to kill cancer and shrink the tumors. At high doses, radiation therapy kills cancer cells, or it can even just slow their growth by damaging their DNA. Cancer cells whose DNA is damaged beyond repair simply stop dividing or die. When the damaged cells die, they're broken down and removed by the body. Radiation therapy does not kill cancer cells right away. It takes days or weeks of treatment before DNA is damaged enough for cancer cells to die. Then the cancer cells keep dying for weeks or months even after radiation therapy ends. Now, there are two main types of radiation therapy, external beam and internal beam. Determining the type depends on several factors, and that includes the type, size, and location of the cancer, and how close the tumor is to normal tissue that's sensitive to radiation. It also depends on the general health and, of course, the medical history of the patient, as well as what other types of cancer the patient may have or has.
External beam radiation therapy comes from a machine that aims radiation right at the cancer itself. It sends radiation to a part of your body from many directions. It is considered a local treatment, meaning that it treats a specific part of your body. For example, if you have a cancer in your lung, you will have radiation only to your chest, not to your whole body.
Then we have internal radiation therapy, where the source of radiation, be it solid or liquid, is put inside the body. Now, to many people, it sounds kind of funny treating cancer with something that can actually cause it. So why do people with cancer receive radiation therapy? Radiation therapy is used to treat cancer and ease the cancer symptoms. But radiation therapy can treat cancer, and radiation therapy can cure cancer, preventing it from returning or stop it or even slow its growth. You may have heard the term palliative therapy. Well, this simply means that the treatments are used to ease symptoms.
External beam radiation may shrink tumors to treat pain and other problems caused by the tumor, such as trouble breathing or loss of bowel and bladder control. Pain from cancer that has spread to the bone can be treated with systemic radiation therapy, drugs called radiopharmaceuticals.
Internal radiation therapy is often used to treat cancers of the head, the neck, the breast, cervix, the prostate, the eye, and even certain types of thyroid cancers. Most often, radiation therapy is used with other cancer treatments such as surgery, chemotherapy, as well as immunotherapy. Radiation therapy can be given before, during, or after other treatments to improve the chances that treatment will work. When radiation is combined with surgery, it can be given before, during, and after the surgery.
Before surgery, it is used to shrink the size of the cancer so it can be removed by surgery and be less likely to return. During surgery, it is used since it goes straight to the cancer without passing through the skin. skin. And finally, radiation therapy. It is used to kill any cancer cells that remain. You have heard of chemotherapy. I am sure it is a type of cancer treatment that uses drugs to kill cancer cells.
Chemotherapy works with stopping or slowing the growth of cancer cells, which grow and divide quite quickly. Chemotherapy is used to treat the cancer, cure the cancer, lessen the chance it will return, or stop or slow its growth. Now, going a little more quickly to get to the end of the show, we have to mention immunotherapy to treat cancer. It's the type of treatment that helps your immune system fight cancer. Immunotherapy is not yet quite as widely used as the others, surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. However, immunotherapies have been approved to treat people with many types of cancer.
Nowadays, targeted therapy is the foundation of precision medicine. It is a type of cancer treatment that targets the changes in cancer cells that help them grow, divide, and spread. As a researcher learned more about the cell changes that drive cancer, they are better able to design promising therapies that target these changes or block their effects.
For some types of cancer, most patients with that cancer will have a target for a certain drug, so they can be treated with that drug. But most of the time, the tumor will need to be tested to see if it contains targets for which we have drugs. So how does targeted therapy work? Well, most targeted therapies help treat cancer by interfering with certain proteins that help tumors grow and spread throughout the body. They treat cancer in many different ways. They can help the immune system destroy the cancer cells, and one reason is that cancer cells thrive because they are able to hide from your immune system. Certain targeted therapies can actually mark the cancer cells so it is easier for the immune system to find them and destroy them. Other targeted therapies, well, they simply boost your immune system to work better against cancer. Targeted therapies can also stop cancer cells from growing. Healthy cells in your body usually divide to make new cells only when they receive strong signals to do so. These signals bind to proteins on the cell surface, telling the cells to divide. This process helps new cells form only as your body needs them. Two more to go. Next to last here is hormone therapy, which works by lessening the chance that the cancer will return or stop or even slow its growth and so ease the cancer symptoms.
Hormone therapy may be given in many ways. Some common ways include oral. Hormone therapy comes in pills that you swallow, injections in a muscle in your arm, thigh, or hip, or right under the skin in the fatty part of your arm, leg, or belly, and through surgery.
Finally, maybe the newest of the armamentarium against cancer is the stem cell transplant. Stem cell transplants are procedures that restore blood-forming stem cells in cancer patients who have had theirs destroyed by very high doses of chemotherapy or radiation therapy. Now, in a stem cell transplant, you receive healthy, blood-forming stem cells through a needle in your vein. Once they enter your bloodstream, the stem cells travel to the bone marrow where they take the place of the cells that were destroyed by treatment. The blood-forming stem cells that are used in transplants can come from the bone marrow, bloodstream, or umbilical cord.
Stem cell transplants do not usually work against cancer directly. Instead, they help you recover your ability to produce stem cells after treatment with very high doses of radiation therapy, chemotherapy, or both.
However, in multiple myeloma and some other types of leukemia, the stem cell transplant may work against the cancer directly. This happens because of an effect that's called graft versus tumor, and that can occur after allogenic transplants.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com.
Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.